Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we are inviting you, our listener, to face the issues with us. This is a listener participation program. We invite you to and urge you and encourage you to call us at 401-1413. Join in the dialogue and the discussion that we're having today. I pray that the opportunity to, as some refer to it, put your 2 cents worth in, would be a benefit and a blessing. On this broadcast, as we face issues, as we have said day after day after day, in participation in this program, you do not have to necessarily agree with our position. You do not need to have major insight on all of the positions, but you are free, and we invite you to call in and participate. You may disagree, but we're not going to be disagreeable. When we search for answers, when we search for direction, when we strive to ascertain what we ought to do in certain situations and circumstances, when we're confronted with difficulties or questions, we have a place we can go. First of all, it's called the Bible, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." The Lord Jesus also says in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's the truth of the Word of God that's the final arbiter on any questions or comments, any discussion that we might have, whether it be what some refer to as political. And by the way, let me just insert this. There is no such thing as political speech for the Christian. For the Christian, if we have a biblical worldview, that is the all-encompassing view of the world based on through looking at it through the prism of the Word of God, there's no such thing as political speech. May I remind us, with a biblical worldview, we're looking at it from what God says. If we talk about the candidates and who we ought to vote for and how we vet them and where they stand and the positions they take, we're simply being obedient to Scripture as being salt and light in a society in which we live in. May I remind us, the Lord Jesus Christ commands us in the Scripture to be salt and light. Salt is not beneficial if it's still in the shaker. Salt makes one thirsty. Salt can cauterize a wound. Salt can sting when it goes into the wound, but it brings about healing. And then if we're light, we cannot light any part of the world if we remain in the closet. If we remain, as Jesus referred to it, under the bushel, we need to expose the light through our lives, our communication. We need to be salt in a decaying society that the world might understand what the truth is based on the authority of the Word of God. So as we face issues, whether it's theological, biblical, political, social, economic, we need to do so. And by the way, let me encourage you. You can call in at 401-1413 to participate in this dialogue and discussion, this conversation that we're having via the open mic today, with the privilege for you to call in. Perhaps you want to redirect the conversation, ask your question. It could be a biblical question. It could be a theological question. I thoroughly enjoy the question and answer dialogue approach to communication. There are many people that have many questions that go to the wrong sources, the wrong place to get an answer, especially when it comes to biblical theological truth. We need to go to the Word of God. May I take this moment to once again invite you to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Jacksonville, Florida. May I invite you to be with us this Sunday. Bible study or Sunday schools at 9:30 in the morning. Morning worship services at 10:45. Evening worship services at 7 o'clock. And then we have the midweek Bible study, fellowship meal, singing, and prayer time at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. You're invited to join with us any one of those services. We would especially love to have you as our special guest this Sunday morning for either of the Bible study or the worship service. So may I invite you to participate with us in the time of worship. Let me encourage us to recognize our responsibility as salt and light in this election cycle. And may I say, and you've heard me say it so often on the air, I believe that this election cycle, whether it's local, state, or national, and in particular the presidential race, I believe is the most important, most far-reaching race for the White House that I've seen in my lifetime. May I remind us that whoever the new president is, there will be 2 to 4 Supreme Court justices appointed. And if Hillary Clinton is elected, we can absolutely be assured, guaranteed, that there will be the socialist, and by the way, socialism is communism light, L-I-T-E, the socialist agenda still being carried out through the Supreme Court. And that being the case, it would no longer be the Supreme Court, but truly it would be the extreme court, because if she's elected and the Supreme Court justices are appointed as she would have the mindset and the ideology to do, we would have a full court that would be making decisions, passing legislation from the bench by 9 unelected, robed gods with a little g, that will absolutely destroy the capitalistic, constitutional republic in which we live today. There is a major move today by the left to disarm America, to squelch free speech, especially when it comes to religious free speech, and to continue to destroy our economic, capitalistic base. May I remind us, it is very, very important. And I say that because I want you to participate in the election cycle. We have, as you perhaps are aware, and maybe you're not, right now is the time that you can be voting in the advanced opportunity. The election and the primary is on the 30th of August. That's just a few days away. And we have the opportunity in the next few days up until the 28th of this month to go to the polls and vote. And may I remind us, there are many states that have far longer periods of time in the advanced opportunity to vote, but may I remind us, I'm personally concerned about it because I think a lot of folks vote that have their names on tombstones out in the cemetery. Many vote 3-4 times under different names. And so I'm delighted that in the state of Florida, we still have identification required to be able to vote. But listen very carefully. In the 2012 election for president, we had over 41 million Christians that did not vote. We have a responsibility as citizens in our country to participate in the voting. Now, as Christians, we are foreigners passing through a strange land, according to my scripture. But as foreigners passing through, if we call America home, if we have a job, if we are participating in life and living in America. We need to participate in the program that determines who's going to rule over us locally, on a statewide level, and nationally. So I don't think I can emphasize any more clearly, any more succinctly, the need to vote. Now, there are many pastors, bless their hearts, under many denominations that take the philosophy and the feeling and they espouse it from the pulpit and try to tell you and multitudes that as Christians we ought not to get involved in politics. It is dirty, it is wretched, it is evil, it's ugly, and it's bad. Those are some of the general terms that they use. And may I hasten to say that I have had the mantra for the past 50 years that the problem in America today is because we do not take a stand with warning the citizens from the pulpits of the need to stand in the gap and to be found effective as salt and light in the society in which we live. Listen very carefully. You've heard me say it before if you listen on a daily basis. God instituted three organizations or institutions, that is. First of all, it's the home. The home. Then the church and government. May I remind us, all three are institutions that are ordained of God. And it's very, very clear when you study the scripture that we need to participate. In fact, in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, Jeremiah is told of God that he needs to pray for the city in which he lives, even though he's captive in the city. We have the responsibility to pray for our leadership. We have the responsibility to participate in the process. We have the responsibility to vet the candidates and determine who we ought to vote for. We have some that are running for the State House. I think there's three different races for the State House to be a representative in the state of Florida. We have several running for the school board. We have a number running for national office for the legislature. We have across the state of Florida and across America many governors running, senators and legislators. And may I just simply, I'm saying that not to be redundant, but to emphasize the need for us to participate. When you look at the Word of God, it gives us clear insight on how to select a leader. In fact, in the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus, in about the 21st verse, it says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." Two or three things that I want to call to our attention briefly before I make a transition in our broadcast. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men." That's talking about having capability. Capability to carry out the task. There's a vast difference in just being a community organizer or having a philosophy or an ideology about something and being capable to carry out the task. Capability means that you're faithful in your responsibility. Capability means that you take a position that you're going to carry out the task with the gifts, talents, and abilities God's given you to do so. Further, the scripture says, such as fear. That means to have reverence, awe, A-W-E, awe, reverence for God. May I hasten to say, this does not necessarily have the connotation that everybody that we put in office must be blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. That's wonderful when we can have truly Christian candidates that are running for office. But when we have someone that's running for office, as with Donald Trump on a national level, there's some that have said, well, he's not a Christian. He's done this or he's done that. Listen, we're not searching for a candidate or voting for a candidate that will walk on water and wear a halo. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a candidate that loves God, that honors God, honors the Constitution, and has a passion for America. And as he uses the mantra, make America great again. The scripture says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth." Now, I could take the balance of the broadcast and talk about truth. Truth goes back to the genuine, the authentic, the original. If I were to take an original document and I would put it on the photocopier and I'd make 1,000 copies, chances are very, very good, depending on the condition of the printing machine that you're using, the copier, chances are very, very good the last of the 1,000 copies would be a weaker copy than the original. When we talk about truth, we're talking about that which is original, that which goes back to the fundamental foundation of what truth is. I've said for many, many years, I'd rather have a person that is ignorant in a lot of things, but stands on the truth and is willing to honor the truth, willing to honor God, that has capabilities that God's given and the wisdom that God's given to carry out the task that God has called them for. The scripture says, moreover, thou shalt provide. We're looking at Exodus, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, able men. It's talking about capability. Such as fear God. It's talking about that commitment and reverence to God. Men of truth. Men, furthermore, it says, you're hating covetousness. Now listen, I don't want to sound denigrative, but absolutely forthright in my conversation. I don't see how any human being on the face of the globe can say that this criteria that's given in the scripture can be a template that can be placed over the life and living and the leadership of Hillary Clinton while in office of Secretary of State. Between her speeches and Bill Clinton's speeches, I think it was like $152 million that was given, and a couple of $1 billion donated to the Clinton Foundation. I think it is a shame that America is being sold because of gravity and greed and a desire to get and gain and gather at the expense of the American Constitution and the public in general. The scripture is very clear. It's the point that I'm trying to make on how we should select a candidate for office. And this number of 41 million that stayed out of the voting booth in 2012 cannot be repeated. May I remind us, it's needful and necessary for each of us to be found faithful in carrying out our responsibility of praying for our candidates and voting. But voting, not blindly. Don't wait until you get to the voting booth to wonder, who am I going to vote for? Look at the list and say, well, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and pick one on that basis. Talk with someone if you've not vetted them. Talk with someone that's vetted the candidates and can give you some discernment and some wisdom based on their findings of the background and the historicity of what ought to be done. May I change gears briefly? I don't know if you're familiar with the latest news about Target stores, but Target stores has decided now to, at the cost of about $20 million, add private bathrooms in all of their stores. You see, back in April, we started a boycott. And a boycott was on the behalf of Christians that were asked to join the boycott of saying, I'll not spend God's dollars at Target stores because they've opened the dressing rooms and the bathrooms where your daughters, granddaughters, wives, mothers go into to use the restroom or change garments in a Target store. Target's already had 26 cases across America, and perhaps more. That's 26 cases as of about a month ago, where they've had perverts and pedophiles and sodomites and those that are sexually confused, mentally, emotionally unbalanced as to their sexuality, that have gone in and tried to make photographs or pictures or videos of women in all stages of dress and undress in the bathrooms and the locker rooms and the dressing rooms. And now Target, because of the boycott, and they won't admit that it's because of the boycott, I have an article in my hand. The title of it is Target Adding Private Bathrooms at All of Its Stores. The article basically says then, plunging sales and a market gap crash of an estimated $11 billion have convinced Target to try to persuade customers with traditional values that all of their restrooms are still safe after the company announced earlier this year that the people could use whatever bathroom based on their gender identity. May I remind us, when they've lost about $11 billion, I'd sure like to be in the next stockholders meeting when they bring this up to the CEO and the CFO of Target and challenge them with what they've done with the plummeting profits of Target simply because they have allowed the perverts and the pedophiles to go into the bathrooms. And by the way, we have that situation that we're faced with on a national level. On a national level, and by the way, Barack Hussein Obama, probably the sorriest, worst, most denigrative president America's ever seen when it comes to morals, ethics, and values and the protection of our nation. He just announced yesterday that he's going to direct the all branches of the federal government to then change the rules and modify the regulations to require every federal building, every federal office in America to have open bathroom policy for the sodomites and the pedophiles and the perverts, the transsexuals, the homosexuals, those that are mentally unbalanced and do not know because of their confusion over their sexuality, to go into those restrooms. We are watching Obama fast-track his goal to destroy America before he leaves office January of next year. So it is my desire to see we the people rise up and stand up and say enough's enough. And I'm delighted that multitudes of you perhaps that are listening to this broadcast today, you've been part of the boycott with Target. All I can say is thank you, 10,000 times thank you, and don't let up, don't stop until there's a change of policy, not just adding private restrooms, but a change of policy on the part of Target stores that will no longer be an affront to the moral ethical people in the United States of America. May I remind us we're watching the deterioration of the morals and ethics and values. We have that on a local level with the Duval County Board of Education. We have that on the level where Dr. Vitti, the superintendent of schools, took it upon himself, time Obama issued the edict out of the White House to open the bathrooms, the locker rooms, the showers, and allow the perverts and the pedophiles and the sodomites and the transvestites and whoever they may be that's confused about their sexuality to go into the locker rooms, the bathrooms, the change rooms, the showers of our schools. Dr. Vitti said, basically, wonderful, let's do it. And he's done that. Ladies and gentlemen, your sons and daughters, when they go to school, they ought to be protected. School is supposed to be a safe place for the children that are sent there to learn math, mathematics, and science, and English, and reading, and writing, etc. They're not to go there to be part of a social experience that's taking place, a social experiment that's taking place with the unbalanced people that leads our Board of Education. Now, you might say this is harsh, but I've said it 1,000 times in the past 6 or 8 months. I think every parent should demand that the school board fire Dr. Vitti. I have no sympathy, no empathy, no compassion when someone does that. There is a sense that the school can just be a social basin for social change and experimentation. And your sons and daughters and our grandkids ought to be protected when they go to school. We talk about having policies in place to prevent bullying in school, and yet we're going to expose them to an open bathroom, shower, and locker room. In fact, it is my prayer to see us put in office in the school board races. We've got several in District 7 and other school board districts that are running for the school board position. I've interviewed some, and my concern and question with each of them is how do you stand on Dr. Vitti's position of allowing this open bathroom? And I had at least one that said, well, I don't want to confront him. I don't want to sound that I'm going to be confrontive and do something that would be an efface to him. I want to wait until I'm elected and then go in office and see what we can do. Well, I have an answer for that. I use this term kind of loosely. It's a joke, but it means it makes the point. There's a good Greek word for that. It's called horse feathers. Horse feathers. Don't you dare wait until you're elected and go in office and then decide what you're going to do. I think then may I recommend to you, our listeners today, and by the way, you can join in this dialogue, the discussion, 401-1413. You can ask questions. You can disagree if you'd like to. You can ask questions about any of the issues that we've talked about. Primarily, we're talking about the grave concern that I have in relationship to the elections, whether it be local, state, or national, and what we ought to do for every office that's open for a candidate. May I say, talk with your school board candidates. If they are unwilling to give you an absolute that I will stand in the gap, I will confront Dr. Vitti, I will confront the balance of the school board members, I will do my best to change the policy so that our kids are protected in the shower rooms, the locker rooms, the bathrooms, the change rooms in our school. It's a sad commentary when we get to that position in America, ladies and gentlemen, where our sons and daughters in schools cannot be assured of their protection. May I remind us, we have issues that's taking place now across America as a result of this open bathroom garbage. The expansion of the HROs, Human Rights Ordinance. For example, here's an article that says, Holy War, government tries to control church sermons. An Iowa church just wants to be free to preach the gospel, but the state's so-called non-discrimination requirements could block the house of worship from doing just that. Lawyers for the church are asking the federal courts to prevent Iowa from censoring that what the religious group calls, says, and preaches about homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, and other related topics. The case erupted when the state's Civil Rights Commission first claimed the authority to control. Listen, the Civil Rights Commission in Iowa, the state of Iowa, is claiming now that they have the authority to control the content of the sermons and then to define what's religious. You hear what they're saying? They're saying that we in the state of Iowa have the privilege, the power, and the authority to listen to any preacher's sermon and dissect it, segregate it, segment it, parse it out, and determine this is religious, this is not, therefore you're going to be prosecuted because of it. Ladies and gentlemen, if we come down to that in America, we're in trouble. May I say that we're on the very precipice, we're on the very verge, we're on the very top of the hill about to go over the cliff in our nation with the confiscation of our Bill of Rights, especially the First and Second Amendment, the freedom of religious speech, the freedom of press, the right to keep and bear arms. Those are the two major things with the Bill of Rights that Hillary Rodham Clinton and others from the socialist leftist wing of the political spectrum in America wants to foreclose and take away from you. What would it be like? What would it be like in our churches today if pastors are afraid to take a stand and preach the truth? Listen very carefully. As a pastor, I have the responsibility to Holy God. I have a responsibility to please Him, whether it pleases anybody else or not. I have the responsibility to preach the Word without any slack. I have the responsibility to say what God says through His Word and to warn the listener that this is what the Word of God says. This is what we ought to do. This is how we ought to live our lives, that we please God with all that we do and say. And may I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a church where the pastor's not doing that, ask him why. Pray for him and ask him why. Pray for him and suggest that he preach the full gospel, all that the Scripture says, that we can be warned about the wickedness in the world, warned about the political danger that we have in America today, that we can be warned about what we ought to do to please God in our lives. If we get to the point where the federal government or the state government has control over the messages in the pulpit, we're in deep, deep trouble. So I warn you again, I encourage you again, I challenge us, pray. Pray for the election. Participate in the vetting of the candidates and voting. Pray and participate in the process is my challenge to you and my desire to see us accomplish as believers, as salt and light in a society that's dying and decaying. Thank you for listening today. Looking forward to the broadcast next week as we face the issues from the Word of God.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.